Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good afternoon. At the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. Sports Bros here. Rob, that's me.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Right here. Watching the big Jets black uniform reveal. They're doing a whole thing.
Yeah, they got the green lights going. And
it's a little weird when you do like a big hype machine and you're 2-6.
I know.
It's like when you score a touchdown to cut it to 28 with 4 minutes left.
And you do the flashing light show and everything?
Yeah, and then you celebrate. Like, you have a big celly. You're like, dude.
Been planning it all week.
Dude, you just got your ass kicked. It's a little weird that they're doing like, yeah, fear us in our black uniforms and our 2-6 record.
Well, I will say.
They did say, yeah, right, they got to go into the darkness, right? So maybe that's where this is coming from.
The Texans' offense has not been great. They've been having some offensive line issues, and now Diggs goes down, and What's-His-Nuts is down.
Old What's-His-Nuts, Nico Collins.
So he's on his third wide. He's on the best receiver he has is his third guy, CJ Stroud.
Yeah.
And then you look at the matchup of the Houston offensive line versus the Jets defensive front.
Yeah,
that's a tough matchup for Houston. Yeah. And look, the Jets are desperate, and you've got a Thursday night game. Road teams always at a disadvantage on Thursday night, so you can kind of see how Vegas has the Jets favored.
And sure, and with the exception of the Steelers game where they were bludgeoned, the Jets lost by 3 to New England. They had no business losing. 3 to Buffalo, who was one of the best teams in football, lost by one possession to Minnesota, and somehow, my God, they lost 10-9 to the Denver Broncos with Bo Nix throwing for like 7 yards. So, like, the record for the Jets may be 2-6. It's not a 2-6 team. They're not good. They're not disciplined. But from a talent standpoint, this is not your normal 2-6 team.
Well, Houston is 6-2, but their point differential is 9.
No, and they, like you said, they have their offense. We thought with CJ Stroud, we thought this would be one of the best offenses in football, and it has not been.
So if you're 6-2 and you have a point differential of +9,
they're last year's Vikings.
That means you're technically more. Like a 500 team.
Yes.
Yeah. You
should probably be 5-4 or 4-5.
4-4.
Like or 4-4, yeah.
So, there you have it. That's why the Jets are favored.
Yeah, it's just weird.
Now, let's all bet on the Texans.
6-2, 2-6, and one team's favorite. And at this point in the year, you get midway, short week, and home field and Thursday night, you know, means a lot.
Yeah, that's why I said that too.
Yeah.
And, you know, here's another thing. You want more on this? Let's go.
Yeah, what do we got?
Well, anytime you have a public bet, this lopsided,
you're
going to win money if you bet on these consistently on the opposite side.
Sure.
And the opposite side would be betting the Jets.
Yes, because everyone.
Everyone is on Houston.
Everyone. When you see this line, you're just like, and that's why Vegas sets it. Vegas needs people to take Houston. And so they set this, and that's what scared me. Like last week with BYU in Central Florida, I was like, when there is a bet that screams at you to take it before you've done any digging,
go against those,
or
you'll win money,
or just walk away.
Yeah.
Or I just kind of look at that and I'm like, I'm not touching that.
So coming up this hour, I did look it up today. It didn't take me long, because I'm great at what I do, Jason. That was a little much, but
well, not knock knock jokes, but other than that, the award.
But also, I think I'm awesome. Yeah. The last team, somebody asked this question yesterday, and I told you that I was going to go research this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care how long it takes me or how far back it goes, I'm going to find the answer
you
to this.
You will find it.
And the question was, who is the last team to beat both Ohio State and Michigan in the same season?
Yeah.
Because if Oregon beats Michigan, of course, they would do that.
Yeah.
Well, I have the answer to that.
Ooh.
And I'm going to share it to you.
Because I did
or
a
with
quick,
you.
I did a quick Google and I could not find it. And to be honest with you, I didn't
You
care.
Had to go back and manually yeah,
I didn't
do
care.
It.
I didn't care enough about it.
And I did. Well, and I have the answer. And
I like it.
Dude, let me tell you something. It is
pumping.
Pumping.
The great Mike Lynch.
Poor Mike. His poor Yankees.
Yeah. He got to meet That's, Aaron Boone, though.
Pumping.
Yeah.
Something. look at you.
What?
It's you.
Who just... cares about Aaron Boone?
I'm guessing if you're a Yankee fan, you care about Aaron Boone. Yeah. You wouldn't.
I mean, if Mike went to Seattle yes. to watch the Mariners and Yankees.
Yes.
And
he got to go down on the field.
Our former producer.
Yeah.
And he has ALS. For those who don't know, Mike has been diagnosed with ALS. Yeah. And so they took him down on the field. He got to meet some guys. But I mean, of all the guys that you could meet, Aaron Boone comes out. You're like, all right. I mean, like you want to meet Judge, right? And you yeah. want to meet, and I think he did. I think there's a picture with Judge.
The only one I saw was with Aaron Boone. So you're saying you get to go down on the field, and yeah. if all you get to do is meet
the manager,
Aaron Boone,
that you're underwhelmed.
Yes.
You walk away.
Correct.
You're like, well, that was just okay.
You're down on the field. You're watching BP. You're there. They give you yeah. They give you a hat. They give you a signed yeah. ball.
I want Garrett Cole, Aaron Judge.
I imagine Rob.
Maybe Juan Soto.
Rob on his deathbed. Like, this is horse crap.
Well, look, dude, I'm a Royals fan. If I don't even know the guy's name, Quattrano or whatever his name is. That's the only guy I meet, I want to meet Bobby.
You want Salvi and you want Bobby.
Wait, hold on. Do you not know the name of your manager?
No, it's Quattraro or something. Matt.
So
Matt
that's
Quattraro.
That's a yes. You do not know the name of your manager.
Well, I know his name. I just don't know how they pronounce it. Matt Quattrano or Quattraro? Do you guys know?
No, but they're not my team.
Don't. What if you got to meet Seth Lugo?
A little underwhelmed.
I'm trying to think of...
I need Bobby Witt.
No, you're not getting Bobby Witt.
Salvi?
You're not getting yes, Salvi Perez.
Salvi. Well, I'm not getting either of those
No,
guys?
You're not getting either
then
one.
Then I'm disappointed.
Really?
Who else are you going to give me?
Tommy Pham.
Oh, no. Gross.
You'd have to pay me to see Tommy
yeah,
Pham.
Yeah, I'd rather meet Matt Quattraro.
If that's even his real name.
Now, you don't get either one of those, but I'll give you five others. You get to meet five, you get signed, you get a hat, but
players?
You do not get Bobby Witt, and you don't get Salvi Perez.
I think I'm leaving a little disappointed. We want to see the stars.
No, it's not happening. Huh? They're too busy. They got things to do.
Well, that disappoints me.
There's people sicker than you.
That God, that disappoints me greatly.
Rob, being ungrateful, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, Aaron Boone.
Hypothetically ungrateful.
I want Bobby Witt.
You know, this nice thing isn't actually happening for me, but if it did, I'd be kind of miffed.
Come on, set it up right, or let's not do it.
This is ridiculous. You just leave. You have him
what is this?
They have you wheel you out of there. I'm like, this is horse crap. I'm out.
He's like disappointed in the Royals organization right now for not setting this up for him.
Hey, Aaron Boone, where's the real Aaron? Where's Aaron Judge? Could you get him over here? Thanks.
How awkward would that be, too? That'd be like if I went, if someone had that and I went to visit a hospital and they're like, hey, there's a kid here and he's a big fan of your show. And I showed up and was like, hey, and he's like, where's Rob?
Yep. He's that's like, what would happen. You know that's what would
he's
happen.
He's like, I don't even like you. I wanted the other one. And I'm like, oh, my God. Sorry, it's
You're
just
You're not
me.
The fart drop guy?
Gosh, that would be terrible. That would be the most, I like, I don't, I'm just sorry. Get him on the horn.
Right.
I got something's on.
It's time now for the Hot 5 at 5:12.
Oh! Hot topics, hot opinions.
Oh, golly, I'm hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
He did it early. He did a lot of errors.
Number five.
You give a one-star Audi of Bellevue reviewed him the main.
You know what? This would make a great Curb episode of Larry David at the Yankees would. And him being underwhelmed with like, who they sent
he's
over.
Like, nah.
I thought it was going to be someone
who's
more essential to the organization.
Luke Weaver. Ah.
We're all going to hell.
Well, after 44 years behind the microphone, the great Bob Costas is stepping away from calling Major League games. Yeah. He is 72 now. He's already in the Hall of Fame. I don't know how many people know that, but he's already in there as a broadcaster. His last game was the Yankees win over the Royals in Game 4 of the ALDS.
And he became one of those guys that, like, Al Michaels gets this, where people constantly crap on him now, and, you know.
Al Michaels gets that?
Yeah, Al Michaels gets it a lot.
Why?
I don't know.
I think Al Michaels is good.
They just say that he's old, he doesn't have energy, they say he's passed him by. I always enjoyed hearing Bob Costas. Bob Costas sounded like baseball to me.
My friend.
Yes.
Friend of the show.
I find Bob Costas to be wonderful. He was in that Vince McMahon documentary.
He's an American treasure.
Maybe he'd like to talk to us about his retirement.
Yeah, maybe I'll text him.
Yeah, please.
Congratulate him for all of us.
Texans visiting the Jets tonight, Thursday Night Football. The 2-6 team is favored over the 6-2 team. Now, if that isn't the NFL for you, I don't know what is.
I know, right? You just never know. You never freaking know. And you look at these records, right? And you look at the point differential. The Jets have lost a lot of close games, and the Texans have won a lot of close games. And the Texans down their top two receivers, and the offense has been a little spotty. You know, see what this
goes.
Well,
the other thing, too, is the Jets are desperate. Yeah. I mean, this is their last stand.
Yes. And they're at home, short week, Thursday night, you know. And they're wearing black uniforms. I mean, hey, Fireman Ed's going to be there doing his stupid Jets chant.
Could the Texans be looking ahead to the Lions, who are next week on their schedule?
Absolutely.
So,
100%.
I think the Jets by a million.
You should bet that. I bet it's a good payout.
You probably
that.
Should. You do an alternative spread, Jets by 12.
Number three.
Well, the World Series ends, and we already have a retirement and a trade.
Yeah.
In retirement news, Dodgers reliever Daniel Hudson is hanging it up.
He was warming up in the pen. He would have been the other guy to go with Buehler at the end.
He's 37 years old. Walks out on top, John Elway style. Angels get slugger Jorge Soler from the Braves in exchange for pitcher Griff Canning. Soler is 32. He hits bombs. Canning wants a hot prospect. Is not as much anymore. He has 94 career starts, ERA 4.7.
Mike Trout's just sitting on the Angels right now, just like, what the hell am I doing here? He's looking at Tawny and the rest of the league.
Do you think he cares?
You would think he'd want out of there, right? He's got a bunch of money. He's got all the MVPs. Wouldn't you want to go somewhere other than be on the Angels? Wouldn't that be something? Because there was talk the Dodgers would go get Juan Soto. What if he's got Mike Trout?
Ooh. I don't know how much Trout has left in the tank.
I know.
It always hurts now.
All the time. This land would be kind of fun, right? Trout and Otani reunited in L.A.
Big one in the NFL this weekend as the Lions visit the Packers.
Can't wait.
Green Bay quarterback Jordan Love says it's realistic that he may play, although Packers coach Matt LaFleur is not as optimistic.
Chances are. I mean, he has that groin. It's been lingering.
Well, he tried to play through it last week.
Good, good.
Re-aggravated it. Yeah. So
it does take some of the steam out of the sports shorts that we're getting Malik Willis. But, hey.
They can still win.
They have done a nice job with him. Now, they run kind of a wing-tee offense when he's in there, but they've done a nice job. And I still, that's the game of the week, and it's not even close.
Your Seahawks host the Rams this week. L.A. has won 5 of 7 in that series. But some bad news for the Rams today. Receiver Puka Nacua left practice with a knee injury.
Look, I hate to say this,
there's no word on the severity yet.
This was his thing at BYU. When Puka Nacua was healthy, he was as good as any receiver in college. He just was never healthy. And in a shocking development, he's never healthy in the NFL. We know when he's on the field, he's their best player and as good as it gets. But it's kind of one of those things. It's people that are injury prone usually don't just magically get healthy.
Number one.
And number one, the city council votes unanimously to support bringing Major League Baseball to Portland. It is a resolution that directs staff to work with the Portland Diamond Project and put the necessary pieces in place to make Portland the obvious choice for a Major League Baseball expansion team.
What I don't like is it doesn't say anything about the next city council and mayor. It doesn't say anything about the financial commitments or what those commitments will be. So I hate the vagueness of these statements, but it's the first time that the entire city government has come out in support of this. And you know that is just, it is absolutely essential if you have any shot at baseball to get the backing of the city. So at least right now, in this version of it, we have it, and that's significant.
There's your Hot 5 at 5. It's brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food. Discover Victor Rico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or delivered straight to your door at victorricos.com. Coming up next, who is the last team to beat Ohio State and Michigan in the same season? You will hear the answer, but only here, exclusively on The Fan. All right, coming up, have you seen the NBA TV numbers? We will spit those out. They're not good. And a broadcasting question. But I told you yesterday that I was going to answer this question from one of the listeners on the text line, and I have done it.
No. Well, you haven't done it. You have not answered it.
I have.
You will do it.
I am now going to disseminate to you the answer that I discovered.
Can't wait.
And somebody asked this on the Vancouver Ford text line yesterday. They asked, who do you think is the last team to beat Ohio State and Michigan in the same season? And it's a good question, yeah. Because, one, Oregon can do that if they beat Michigan this weekend. But we were talking about it. It's like, you know.
Well, I was thinking of who won the Big Ten. So I was guessing maybe Wisconsin.
If you think about it, how dominant Ohio State generally has been, and then also Michigan to the not quite the same degree, but yeah. I was half expecting to have to go back a long ass time. Mm. Because I can't imagine in the Big Ten there's a team that beat either of these teams in the same season very often.
Yeah. Didn't have to go back that far, did you?
Or maybe ever. No, I didn't. Hmm. The year was 2015.
Oh, that's a decent chunk, 9 years ago.
Yeah, but I was prepared to go back to like the 60s.
Oh.
And I was going
to
do it.
Well, I would have thought, because like I remember, Wisconsin went to a couple Rose Bowls under a couple different coaches. And so that's, in order to go to the Rose Bowl, you would have had to win the Big Ten and you would have had to beat at least one. And it made sense that maybe you beat them both. So
the team that beat them both in the same season was Michigan State.
Okay. Again,
and it was
another team that was the year they probably went to the college football playoff, right?
Yes, it was the 12-1 Michigan State Spartans under Mark D'Antonio, and their only loss that whole season was by 1 point at Nebraska, 39-38. Hmm. That team made the 4-team college football playoff, but they got boat raced by Alabama, 38-0.
I remember that.
Michigan that year was 10-3, but that was Jim Harbaugh's first year. And then Ohio State that year was 12-1, but they did not make the Big Ten title game because Michigan State beat them. And the other team in the Big Ten title game was Iowa, and that was the year Iowa went undefeated.
Huh.
You remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Yeah, Iowa was undefeated, and they went into the Big Ten title game and lost to Michigan State 16-13. And that's how Michigan State made the tournament.
That is the most Iowa thing ever, by the way. But I do not remember them being undefeated.
And the Buckeyes wound up hammering Notre Dame in the Fiesta Bowl that year.
Was that?
So there you go.
In the Fiesta Bowl. I was trying to think. Was that the one where like Terrell Pryor was suspended and then they unsuspended him? But that probably wouldn't have.
2015.
Was that? I thought that was the Sugar Bowl maybe. Like they suspended him and then they were like, well, it's the bowl game and you know our fans are going down, so we're going to unsuspend him. But I thought for whatever reason, I thought that may have been in the Sugar Bowl against like Arkansas or something. But all that stuff kind of blends together. But I like it. I like that you developed that answer for us.
I did develop that.
You did.
Took me a long time. By the way, that Notre Dame team. No, that was Barrett at quarterback for
JT Barrett.
Ohio State.
Okay.
That was after Terrell Pryor. Hmm. Deshaun Kizer.
Oh, gosh. You want to talk about a quarterback that people thought was going to be good. I give you Deshaun Kizer.
Notre Dame had a couple of them. Jimmy Clausen, too.
Yeah, Dave Bartu always, he brings up Deshaun Kizer in reference to Anthony Richardson. Looks like Tarzan plays like Jane. That we got to stop with the big athlete playing quarterback that isn't very good in college. And yet we try to think he's going to be good in the NFL. Usually doesn't work out.
Well, Anthony Richardson has already been benched. maybe in a couple of years. I mean, he's only, somebody's saying he's like 2 years younger than Bo Nix or something.
Anthony Richardson?
Is that right?
I think that would be accurate.
Anthony Richardson is very young.
And Bo Nix was in college for like 5 or 6 years. So.
Yes. And that's just, and that's.
Richardson's 22.
And that's just, the problem is that, and we were talking about this yesterday, that some agents and people are saying, the NFL is just not going to develop you. If you don't know how to play the position, you have to stay in college. You just, because an NFL team is going to draft you, but they expect you to be able to come in and figure it out. You just don't get the time to grow and develop. And so, you know, for the Anthony Richardsons of the world, this, it's just, it's a death sentence. You're like, oh, I'm a first round pick. I got to get out of there. But it really, it's to the detriment of your career. You'd be better off giving up the money and sticking around in college and taking your chances and learning how to play the position. Because the NFL just is not a developmental league. It's certainly not at that position.
Someone was saying on the text line that Sparty, that year that they beat Ohio State and Michigan, that was the year, remember was it the punt at the end of the game? It was
like, oh, yeah.
That was punt fumble or something?
It was Michigan, the, right? Yeah, they basically had to punt it to ice it, and the punt went through the punter's hands, yeah. And he has the panicked look, and then there's the surrender Cobra kid and all that.
Yeah, that was Michigan. Michigan,
yeah.
They S to the bed, yeah. Against Sparty.
That was that year.
Yeah, okay. I do remember that. I don't remember it being that year. But it was fun for a while there when Michigan State was bitch-slapping Michigan. They were the little brother had kind of flipped it on the big boys, which is always fun to see. And Michigan State's one of those underrated programs. Michigan State has a good football program. It just kind of fell on hard times, and
man,
they're already pissed at Jonathan Smith. I mean, my God, it's like ridiculous out there. He's 4-4, and people in East Lansing are already pissy at him.
That's how close these seasons, you know, they just come down to little things. You know, that I totally forgot about that, but Michigan was up 23-20 and they were punting the final play of the game, mm-hmm. And the guy fumbles it. Michigan State guy picks it up and runs it into the end zone. They win 27-23. Yeah. And by the way, that was only the seventh game of the season.
Yeah.
They end up going to the college football playoff.
All because of that.
Because, yeah, they wouldn't have. It would have been Ohio State and Iowa, mm-hmm. in the championship game if it weren't for that.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so many weird things. I remember one year Ohio State made it. That was the year that the Sam Darnold year they played Penn State in the Rose Bowl. Penn State won the Big Ten, beat Ohio State, and they still sent Ohio State and not Penn State because Penn State had two losses and Ohio State had one, even though the Ohio State loss was head-to-head against Penn State. This is weird. It was, you know, weird things. So at least with the 12-team playoff now, we're going to get a broader range of teams that get in. Because yeah, the way we used to do it. Imagine back in the BCS days when you had two, or even before that when the national title teams didn't even play each other.
Now I don't know if this is true, but the same texter is saying that when Michigan State beat Michigan and Ohio State in 2015. They didn't lead either game until the clock hit zeros.
Oh, that fun! If that's true, it's a great little anecdote, great footnote in history.
Because they kicked a field goal to beat Ohio State at the end, mm-hmm. and the fumble punt return.
Honestly, the only thing I remember about that season, I do remember the Michigan punt, and I remember Alabama just housing them. Because when we've seen little brother get into the college football playoff, whether it's Michigan State or Cincinnati or whatever, it hasn't gone well, with the exception of TCU, right? Yeah, TCU beat Michigan. Now Georgia was a different story, but you know, TCU got Michigan.
Is that our biggest? I mean, everybody always points to Boise State beating Oklahoma.
Yeah, but that was back in a BCS meaningless.
I know, but they beat him, yeah, and that was it was a big deal for. Mm-hmm. For under, you know,
yes.
I mean, a lot of people were like, oh, Boise State's not going to hang with them. And they beat them.
Yeah,
and so, fair and square.
Mm-hmm.
You had Utah beat
Alabama.
That was a big one.
And of course, you know, everyone always does the Alabama didn't care, and that's the go-to line. But yeah, Utah kicked their ass.
And the TCU, Michigan. I mean, TCU is still a Big 12 team, but yeah. Them beating Michigan, that was a
big deal. Unfortunately for TCU, the following week, Georgia that was one of the biggest ass beatings we've seen in the playoff. And you know,
playoff.
Yeah.
But there just aren't many. There aren't many upsets.
Well, I mean, once you get to that level and you can have fun seasons and you can have the upsets, but you know, and the cream rises to the top, and this is why Dave says every year, right, there's like what, 6 or 7 teams that fit the profile. And no one has been able to buck that trend so far.
All right, we move on to other things coming up next. NBA TV numbers way down. Here is Buck with sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
So, was watching the World Series yesterday in here, and I had a thought. Because sometimes I do that.
Mm-hmm.
I have thoughts.
So you ponder things?
Well, I was watching the pregame, and you know, they had A-Rod and Jeter mm-hmm. and Ortiz up there.
Yeah.
And I wonder, do you need those guys on your playoff coverage? Like, do you care? Because that's a great panel in mm-hmm. terms of pedigree.
Sure.
But I found them to be very uninsightful, just the little part that I was watching.
Yeah.
Not that, I mean, those guys know more about baseball than anybody. Well, maybe they don't, but you know what I mean.
Sure.
Like the pedigree and the
there's a lot of World Series rings on those hands and guys that understand what it's like to be in the moment.
So, of course, I trust their opinions, but they weren't that good. And I was like, do we really need, like, does it have to be Tom Brady?
No.
Or can it be?
I've said this a million times. Ryan Fitzpatrick, who I love, Ryan Fitzpatrick is 10 times the analyst that Tom Brady is. And Greg Olsen, who's a fine tight end, but Greg Olsen's not one of the best tight ends of all time. Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback of all time. Greg Olsen is a much better play-by-play analyst than Tom Brady. And so, yes, I totally get where you're coming from. I do not like when, just because you're a Hall of Fame player, you get the big analyst role. Couldn't agree more. It's nice in those big moments, like, you know, to have people that have been in that moment, because I can sit here and tell you what it's like to play in college football, but I can't tell you what it's like to play in a national championship game. I can't tell you what it's like to play in the Rose Bowl. I've spent some time in the NFL, but I can't tell you what it's like to play 10 years in the NFL. But if you give me someone that's done those things, but they're crappy at it, I'd rather have someone with lesser experience or lesser pedigree, but's better at the job. But that's usually not the way it works. We usually give it to the guy that's got the biggest name.
Well, but all three of them, though?
Sometimes you get both, and you get, I think Alex Rodriguez is really good.
Yeah, Jeter's pretty weak.
Yes.
I don't know.
They're all too generic and vanilla.
Yeah.
It's not just real analysis. It's like, hey, this guy's good. I played. I know. Like,
and I get all three. I don't know. I think it'd be cool to have one of them up there, mm-hmm. but then also have, like, I think back to Inside the NBA.
Yeah.
It's like you have Kenny, who wasn't the best player. I mean, he's a good player, yeah. but he was not the best player. He's just articulate and the basketball guy. Mm-hmm. And then you have Chuck, who's kind of the goofball,
yeah.
who happened to be a really good player, but he's more on there for personality. And then you add Shaq, sure. who was the guy that's been there, mm-hmm. you know, that's won the rings,
yeah.
which is, that's a good mix. And then, you know, it's like, I wish broadcasts did more trying to find that dynamic rather than just pile on Hall of Famers and hope that they're good.
Well, like the Thursday night crew, the Amazon crew, it's got that because you've got, you know, I think the NFL does a better job of that than others.
Well, who's on the, because
well, you've got,
we're always working.
Well, yeah, but you've got, You have Ryan Fitzpatrick. You've got who's the Rams offensive
line? Andrew Whitworth.
Yeah, Andrew Whitworth is on there. You do Richard Sherman gets on there. You know, and you look at some of the analysts now. Travis Kelce Jason Kelsey's making the rounds, and he's a Hall of Famer, but it's an old lineman. Ryan Clark was a solid player, but Ryan Clark wasn't the best to ever do it. And I think Ryan Clark, Dan Orlovsky does a lot of analyst stuff for ESPN. So I think football. I think football more than most does a better job. Certainly college football. Dude, college football, there's a lot of guys that weren't even – like Joel Klatt was a bad college quarterback, and Joel Klatt's like the voice of college football. Kurt Herbstreit was not a good college quarterback, and he's the face of it.
See, so, I just like guys that are more entertaining. You know, like Good Morning Football on NFL Network?
Yeah.
That show's great.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not going to be for everybody. It's an NFL show, but it's just entertaining. Yeah. And one of the guys on there is freaking some MTV Real World cast off.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean,
I don't care. He's fun.
He's fun. Well, that's the Pat McAfee, although Pat McAfee was a good punter, but yeah, I mean, Pat McAfee is a great example.
He is a great example because even if he wasn't a punter, he'd be great.
Yes.
He doesn't need the punter pedigree. I think that helps him, but he doesn't need that. He's a good enough personality on his own. So like if it's Lawrence Funderburk and Chris Duhon, I don't care. Yeah. If they're fun and good, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'd rather have that than Jeter and A-Rod.
I think the problem with that though is that the networks are always trying to do the perfect tightrope. Those big names they think attract an audience, and that they can't attract an audience if they don't have the big names, when in fact the best analysts should hold the best audience, but no one's going to tune in if they don't know who the analysts are. So it's like
catch 22.
It's a total catch
22. Well, it's not even best analysts, it's the best show put together, a good show.
Sure, but what I'm saying is I think often the best show doesn't include the biggest names, and so then it's not appealing to the biggest masses.
That's it's true. It's like I said, it's a bit of a catch 22 in that.
See, you think if you have a really good show, a baseball pregame show that's kind of fun and it's got some odd names on there,
I think baseball diehards
will
watch
doing
it, but
well.
The average person is not going to tune in if they don't know who's on it.
So you don't think that does as well as A-Rod, Jeter, and Ortiz being really boring?
I think that's why those guys are A-Rod, Jeter, and Ortiz are on that show.
I think a lot
because it commands more numbers.
I think a lot of douchers like those New York bros. They will not respect an opinion that doesn't come from a Tom Brady, that doesn't come from a Derek Jeter. That does. You hear this all the time. I mean, who was it recently? I just saw there was a Twitter thing going on where someone was dragging an NFL analyst saying that you weren't very good.
Orlovsky, probably.
I'm trying to remember. Jeff Schwartz got involved in it.
It happens to Jeff Schwartz pretty frequently.
Jeff Schwartz got involved in it, too. And we still have this fight. Females fight this worse than anybody. Why should I pay attention to you?
When you clearly never played.
You have a vagina. Therefore, you can't know anything about football because you never played it.
Yeah, Mina Kimes gets that all the time.
Yeah. Like,
and she's great. And that's a great example.
She's great.
She's one of the best out there.
Yes.
Incredible.
Male or female.
And so I just think that networks are constantly in this battle where, you know, to a lot of dumbasses, you have to have the name. And if you don't have it, we're not going to give you a chance. And so it's really hard for those people to knock down the door. The best example of this is Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen has to be so much better because he's not Tony Romo or Tom Brady, and he was, and it still wasn't good enough. They still booted him for Tom
that's,
Brady.
That's so weird.
Yeah, I think they worry about the brand recognition. If you flip it over and you're like, who's that guy? You're going to keep moving.
Well, and look.
Well, I think color is different than a pre- and post-game show.
Definitely.
I mean,
definitely.
Well, and we do this too, like with, I got to be careful.
Oh.
Colleges want people to be on their shows that went to their school, right? Like you can give really fair analysis and they can really like you, but they want you to be one of their own. And it helps. It doesn't just help. Sometimes it's almost mandatory to be there. That's why most of the colleges, when you look at their broadcast team and certainly their color team, it is former players at that school.
Well, shoot, even the regional sports broadcasts, like all the baseball teams that have all their local guys. Those teams want them to be doing constant positive PR for their organizations.
Yeah, and it helps when you know, if you want to do Padres games, guess what? You're going to be a former Padres player. And if you're the
and you're not going to be critical of what they're doing currently.
No. And so it's just it's a weird business. Like we talk about like nepotism and all that and homerism and it's I don't know if there's a business that's more rampant than what we have to deal with in the sports media landscape. I think it's getting somewhat better when you see that we're getting more females that have opportunities. But even that, like if you're going to be a female, it pays to be attractive. It just does, you know. And if you're going to be a player, it pays to be a better player. But I do think you're starting to see some of that shift a little bit. But baseball does appear to be kind of old school because when you look at their panels, it is.
It's always those guys.
Well, I was flipping back and forth between the Major League Baseball and ESPN last night doing the celebration, and you know, on one, like you said, you had A-Rod, Jeter, Poppy, was there one other? But on the Major League Baseball one, it was Pedro, and yeah, again, same thing. It was Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer, Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I mean, they've always had A-Rod and Ortiz on there.
Harold Reynolds was on there. I mean, he's a Gold Glover, but he's not a Hall of Famer.
So they've always had A-Rod and Ortiz. Why do you need Jeter? Like, you're paying a lot of money to get Jeter on there. You already have Jeter on there.
Because someone at a network is like, oh my God,
we gotta have a Yankee.
We gotta have a Yankee.
Oh, wait, A-Rod's a Yankee. Yeah.
Well, yeah, and I think those networks should say, we could get Derek Jeter. Yeah. And it's like, that's like all there is to it. They just think big name, big deal.
I gotta tell you, I think sports networks play it way too safe sometimes.
I don't disagree with you. I think that's their rationale.
Yeah, I get it.
And sometimes it's brutal. Like, I remember, and I love Magic Johnson. And he was on there, by the way, wearing his big Dodger leather jacket. And that dude's got Magic Johnson has one of the best personalities ever. Go back and find when Magic Johnson was doing NBA coverage. Oh, my God. It's like the worst thing you've ever seen. Emmett Smith was atrocious. Jason Witten was atrocious. I will say that if you have a big enough game, but you're really bad, a lot of times they will be like, look, man, I get your
message. Yeah, they move on.
Yeah, but we can't keep doing this.
All right, see the NBA TV numbers. We'll get to that next on The Fan. Well, Thursday Night Football is going about as you would think.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of
punts.
Jesus, my eyes are bleeding. Texas have the worst O-line ever. These two teams should be fired. I love that one.
Ooh, fire him, yeah.
Yeah, he's fire the whole thing. I mean, it's not good. It's
not a good look so far. I'm watching it over here on my phone.
Yeah, I got it here up. It's 0-0.
A lot of punts.
Yeah, a lot of punts. It's an Iowa game. And unfortunately, I think sometimes we forget because early season is not as bad. But when you get to the midpoint of the season, you remember Thursday Night Football tends to be ugly.
It's rough.
Unders.
Well, it's, you know, a lot of times, I've seen it firsthand. When you get to Thursday, guys are just now starting to recover from Sunday. I've seen guys on Thursday struggle to walk, and then they play on Sunday. You'd be amazed what that extra, you know, 72 hours gives you. But when you got to play on Thursday and you could barely walk, and now you're out there and everyone's beat up, it's like, it's just, it's rough. So we have, I'm looking here for total yards. The New York Jets, would you care to guess the
six?
The
24.
The New York Jets' yards.
Six.
They have 4 yards.
Ah.
You were really close, Isaac.
I overshot it.
They have 4 yards, as opposed to the mighty 61 yards that the Houston Texans are
Do you think they should get rid of Thursday Night Football?
Yes, but they won't.
Probably.
Thursday, it's stupid.
You know what they should do? I mean, I don't know if this would work, but could you do Tuesday Night Football following Monday Night Football? And then still go play the next Sunday, or is that the exact same as doing Thursday night?
You couldn't. Monday Night Football is already pushing it. If you did Tuesday Night Football, then you couldn't play.
Then Sunday becomes Thursday for
Sunday
those teams.
Becomes Thursday.
Yeah. What if every Tuesday night team had a bye the next week?
Yeah, that's the only way you could do that. Yeah, like you need to do it where you give the people the day off. But at this point, midpoint in the season, no one in the NFL is healthy, and look at all of the rash of injuries and guys that aren't in this game. And I'm not saying if they were in Sunday that any of those guys would be playing. I mean, obviously Diggs is out for the season. Nico's been battling it, but you're already down where, you know, every team is suffering injuries. Everyone is grinding through this thing. And now you're asking teams to get on a plane on on Wednesday morning and fly out somewhere, your preparation is shot to hell. It's just, this is bad football. Well, and it's going to be. And every year we're always surprised by it because at the beginning of the year, it's not as bad. But end of the year, this is Thursday. And we're not even at the end of the year, by the way. This is middle of the year. This is Thursday night football.
Now, I know Friday is supposed to belong to high school or whatever, but would the NFL be product be better if it were on Friday rather than Thursday? Just yes, one
but,
extra day?
Yes, but they can't. There's it literally is a law.
Oh.
So they're not allowed to do it.
We've talked about this.
Yeah.
Thanks for paying attention.
Well, yeah, it's a law. There's once in a blue moon that a window opens up. But yeah, they are not allowed to play on Friday. They had an antitrust thing. No,
they can play on Fridays. It's just it's certain times.
Times. Mm. And so
they have to play early.
Yeah, it doesn't work. But yes, an extra day would every day that you can push a game back. I don't know how to describe it other than, I don't know. Have you ever been in a car wreck? Think about the sorest you've ever been in your life, right? And you realize, like, every day that goes by, it gets a little bit better. And that's what these guys are dealing with every single week. And so when you're giving them, Thursday to fully recuperate, Friday to fully recuperate, Saturday to fully recuperate, and sometimes even part of Sunday. And then, of course, we shoot them up and we get them all numb. And then you go out and play. Think about what that would do to your body if you asked yourself however bad you felt the flu. Think about that. Think about when you have the flu and running its course, because the flu takes usually a week to go through. Think about how you feel day one on a Monday of having the flu and how you feel Friday, and ask yourself, could you do anything physically on Monday the same way you could on Friday? That's what you're asking these guys to do. And it's just, it's not realistic.
So the NBA is having some trouble with eyeballs.
I'll tell you what.
Their eyes are not very important to them.
Outside apparently.
My eyes are very important
I've
to
watched
me.
Probably six quarters of Blazer basketball.
Yeah, how'd it go? What do you think? Hot?
Outside of the six quarters of
hot,
Blazer basketball
product,
I have not watched.
Maybe it
doesn't. We had the Southeast game up here in the studio, and that was the opener. We were kind of paying attention
Celtics
to that.
Knicks.
Yeah, Celtics Knicks, and which was over in like 8 seconds. Dude, I haven't watched any. I have not watched a quarter of the NBA that isn't the Portland Trailblazers.
The NBA's opening doubleheader, which was Boston, New York.
And then Minnesota, L.A.
Yeah. Down 42% from 2023.
Yes.
They only got 1.6 million viewers. Dude, they're not even getting 2 million for their best games.
Yeah, that's
that is not good.
It is bad.
That's rough. It's a bad product. It's a bad product. It's uninteresting. And I think everyone has caught on to the fact that the beginning of the season means
nothing to anyone.
Zero.
Well,
to anyone.
The stars are in and out.
Doesn't matter. It's just
the Sixers are they're saying, hey, they're being out in the open about it.
We're not going to do back-to-backs.
We don't want to play Joel Embiid on back-to-back.
Nope. I mean, honestly, outside of Boston being good, did you see last night, and I didn't watch it, but I saw the highlights of it, did you see what the biggest story was in the NBA last night? And I'm not kidding.
Can I guess?
It wasn't even close.
Bronny.
Bronny scores his first bucket.
Bronny scored his first bucket. They were in Cleveland, and Cleveland, by the way, who's undefeated, shellacked the Lakers. And at the end of the game, the Cleveland crowd was chanting for Bronny. And they put him in at the end of the game, and he made one basket, and it was the biggest story. When I logged on to ESPN last night, because I always do that before I go to bed, I always just kind of log on and I kind of see what the day's stories are. It was the number one headline on ESPN was Cleveland crowd shows love, goes crazy as Bronny scores first point. And I looked it up, and he had one basket. He had 2 points.
But it was his first. And it's iconic.
And it was the biggest story in the NBA.
That is such an indictment.
Yes.
On what's happening in the
NBA. It's such a 2024 NBA headline.
Yeah.
Yes. It's honestly embarrassing. It just, even today, it's the number two story behind Banchero being questionable for the game against the Cavaliers. That's the number one story. The number two story is Bronny Nett's first bucket feels love in Cleveland.
Yeah, honestly, I think the headlines are always like who is and who isn't playing.
Yes.
I mean, that's real.
Or who's going to...
Who's hurt?
Someone said this last year, and I don't remember who it was, but I thought it was... I remember at the time being like, this is a huge problem for the NBA. When we discuss the NFL, right, it's you know, what's going on with the Minnesota offense? What is the new defensive trends, right? What you know, best team, you know, it's very analytical. We got all these guys breaking it down, right? There's a million ways you slice into the NFL. It's just so much coverage, and it's such an intelligent football audience now. Football fan is smarter than ever. We're actually, like, on a regular basis now discussing coverages and how the NFL is keeping offenses in check and how offenses are combating this by going to different personnel groups. And he said, all we talk about in the NBA, the only thing is who is going to get traded. He said, it's a soap opera. They said, you know, all of a sudden now the main story is going to be Giannis getting out of Milwaukee. It's Stephen A. Smith saying that Embiid needs to get someone else into Philadelphia.
It's pairing of stars.
And one is treated as this deep dive analytic thing, and the other one is treated as the Real Housewives of Orange County.
Yeah.
And for a lot of sports fans, that drama crap, it's like I could give two S's about it, and the product isn't good, and it's suffering. That's a huge dip.
Those are bad.
Yeah.
Those are bad numbers. But, you know, as the season goes on, the NBA obviously draws more eyeballs.
Sure.
Football ends. But
right now,
they got
so far off my radar.
They have some issues. I've never really heard Adam Silver address, kind of the entertainment element of the league.
Yeah.
You know, baseball's been really good about it recently.
Yeah.
Addressing that and like, what do we do to, you know, get people more interested? Mm-hmm. NBA doesn't really do that. The only thing that they do is they really try to tackle this injury problem. Mm-hmm. and star players sitting out.
Yeah.
They've really tried to do the best they can
to make sure
that
if you buy a ticket, and you buy a ticket from Milwaukee, damn it, you want to see Buck and you want to see Dame.
You do want to see Buck.
You do want to see Buck.
Everybody wants to see Buck.
Well, who doesn't?
Do what we can.
Naked. When you see the Bucks, you want to see Dame and you want to see Giannis.
Yeah, and they've addressed that, but he's never really talked about, at least that I know of the entertainment value of the product with all the threes and dipping ratings. Like, I don't know what are they doing back there?
I don't know. And this the next group of stars, because
do they think they have a good product?
I don't think so. I think he knows that the product is iffy. Someone else brought this up the other day too, because it's funny. I try to read about the NBA. I don't like watching it, but I keep up on what's going on in the NBA. And someone pointed out the other day, it was just a day or two ago, and again, you're only four games in, but they said that Anthony Edwards, who is
bring gas,
one of the bright young stars in the NBA and one of the most athletic players that you'll ever see.
I see y'all for game seven,
right? Like, that dude is a walking highlight reel.
Touchdown, 50, Jets.
56% of his shots this year. Mm-hmm. 56.
Threes. Yeah.
And they said, when you have one of the most athletic players,
hate it,
and all he's doing is going out there and jacking threes,
exactly,
and it ain't Steph Curry shooting threes, that's an issue.
Well, that's what we were talking about the other day.
Yeah.
It's like
60 a game.
One of the
cases.
Reasons we go and watch NBA players, they're the best athletes. They're freaks.
Yes.
But when they just sit and shoot threes, we don't. None of that's on display.
It's boring as sin. And that's what I said. You've taken what should be, like, I remember when Iverson was playing, when he came to town, that to me was must see. I would go watch I will pay money to see Allen Iverson. And Allen Iverson didn't just stand 5 feet beyond the arc and huck threes. And if he did, to me, that's not must see TV. And unfortunately, this is what it's becoming. And when Golden State did it, at least there was a rhythm to it, and it was beautiful, and they played defense. Boston, I think, is a good watch, but there's not many Boston Celtics out there right now. Instead, you're getting a lot of people that this is what they're doing.
All right, up next, it's Club 1080 Halloween edition when we return on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.